I'm not very engaged. I will allow members to just introduce themselves as well. And then immediately after that, Mr. Paul, I would ask you to introduce yourself and your delegation. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Nambusolo Adjons. I'm the member of the Portfolio Committee of Basic Education and from the Northwest, from the ANC.
Good morning.
Good morning. Shulohelo Malachi from Houghton, deployed by the ANC.
Good morning. Chantel King, member of the Committee for All South Africans.
My apologies. Terence Ball, representing the South African National Lexicography Units. And I'm with Mr. Tebo Teletsane, who is the head of the Sesotho unit. Honourable Chair, I'm in your hands. I have some apologies to make.
Honourable King, can I ask you to open for us with a prayer?
No problem.
We want and create another day. Thanks for your mercies and blessings upon us today. Be with us in this committee so that we know we are working towards the next generation and that we make the future brighter for them, for every South African and for every child in South Africa. I pray that you give us wisdom and guidance throughout this day. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much, Honorable King. Honorable members, on our agenda, we've got the briefing by the National Lexicography Unit on elevating the status and advance the use of indigenous languages. And that will be the agenda for the day. Can we move toward the agenda? That is Wela.
I move for the agenda.
And Honorable King.
I second the agenda.
Thank you very much. Any apologies?
Unfortunately, I haven't received any as yet, so I take a minute off for making my way to the meeting.
Honourable King?
Yeah, I think Honourable Van der Walt may not be joining us today. She's busy with some DA matters.
Adwal?
I have an apology of Honourable Shabalala. She's still in hospital. And Honorable Mobatsetla is attending the ad hoc committee of Section 25. Yes.
Mr. Paul?
Honorable Chair, honorable members, today is International Dictionary Day. So unfortunately, fortunately, this meeting coincides with an event in Durban. That is why only one lexicography unit head is here, otherwise they would all be attending. And I would also like to make an apology on behalf of Mr. Carlton Mukwelu, the Secretary General of the South African National Commission for UNESCO. He tried desperately to get onto a flight from Paris directly to Cape Town, but wasn't able to do so. But I have a letter to read on his behalf. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Bond. Mr. Brown,
sorry, Chair. Yes, Honourable Speaker's need called to say that she will join us a few minutes later. She's just starting at another committee. Thanks, Chair.
All right. Let me hand over to you, Mr. Bond, to lead or whatever, but give us the presentation.
Honourable Chair, yes. I'll just start by saying that one of our constitutional obligations is that all languages must be treated equally. So what we've tended to do at the units is to ensure that as far as possible, every presentation we do is very similar, the ones that we've done to the legislatures. So let me start off with a letter from the Secretary General of UNESCO. It reads, the South African National Commission for UNESCO whose president is the Minister of Basic Education, Ms. Angie Motshekga, chaired by Professor Iran Rensburg, and whose Secretary General is Mr. Carlton Mokoena, who was scheduled to deliver a message of support at this important presentation to the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee on Basic Education, has requested me to read this letter on his behalf. The United Nations declared 2019 the International Year of Indigenous Languages in order to raise awareness of them, not only to benefit the people who speak these languages, but also for others to appreciate the important contribution they make to the world's rich cultural diversity. South Africa, as a member state of the United Nations, supports this very important drive, and it is through language that we communicate with the world, define our identity, express our history and culture, learn and defend our human rights, and participate in all aspects of society, to name but a few. Through language, people preserve their community's history, customs and traditions, memory, unique modes of thinking, meaning and expression. We also use it to imagine our individual as well as our collective future, as it is pivotal in the areas of human rights protection, good governance, peace building, reconciliation and sustainable development. The South African National the South African National Commission for UNESCO supports this gathering. That's the end of the letter from Mr. Mokoena. So I will move on to the agenda. I know it looks very lengthy, honourable members, but I promise I'll be as concise as possible. There is, however, some period to cover to brief you fully on developments, and then obviously one hopes there would be an opportunity for questions. So moving now to the constitutional and legislative obligations to our Indigenous languages, we've just handed out a document which I believe you received electronically as well. This document is printed in red, the most important bits of it, and I'm sure that I don't need to explain to anybody in this room what the Constitution is. What it says importantly about our languages is that recognizing the historically diminished use and status of the Indigenous languages of our people, the state must take practical and positive measures to elevate the status and advance the use of these languages. In Chapter 6, it states that all official languages must enjoy parity of esteem and must be treated equally. My apologies, it's Chapter 1. And in Chapter 14, we are called to diligent performance of obligations. All constitutional obligations must be formed diligently and without delay. Also, in the sphere of cooperative government, it calls on all spheres of government that must observe and adhere to the principles in this chapter and must conduct their activities within the parameters that the chapter provides. Principles of cooperative government and intergovernmental relations: cooperate with one another in mutual trust and good faith by fostering friendly relations, assisting and supporting one another, informing one another of and consulting one another on matters of common interest, and coordinating their actions and legislation with one another. I will touch on this again later in the presentation, but in the papers just handed out to you, you'll see is a parliamentary ATC report, which was issued by the Department of Arts and Culture. And the last bulleted point, obviously, is the dictionaries in Indigenous languages should be made available to the respective groups and schools as soon as possible. I will touch on that again, as I say, later in the presentation. Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, what, as the lexicography units, we believe is that until such time as national and provincial departments of education and arts and culture in particular and the national lexicography units have formal memoranda of understanding governing the development and implementation of materials in all our Indigenous languages, government cannot claim to be taking all practical and positive measures to elevate the status and advance the use of these languages. Nor do we believe that there can be any consistent application of a program to ensure that all languages are treated equally. Just to appraise the honourable members of developments, recent developments, Mpumalanga Departments of Education and Sport, Art and Culture have signed a memorandum with the NLUs to support all languages spoken in the province, but with a development focus on Zimbabwe and Siswati, for which they share our mandate. And possibly I should say at this point that the provinces that are home to the majority of speakers of the language concerned share our mandate for that language. So while all provinces have a responsibility to ensure support of all languages spoken in the province, some of them have a developmental responsibility as well for a specific language. The Limpopo SAC, that Sports, Arts and Culture, has done likewise for Chitsonga, Chivenda and Sesotho sa Leboa, while the Northwest Legislature, following a presentation by the units, has authorized the signing of an MOU by Education and SAC. Presentations to Legislature Portfolio Committees have been fixed or dates arranged in Eastern Cape, Limpopo, Gauteng, Free State, KwaZulu-Natal and Northern Cape. Once these are fixed, we'll approach the Western Cape. We're just finding it quite difficult at the moment, obviously, to keep in communication with all of the legislatures and think we should tackle the Western Cape at the end of all of this. Unless national departments and other provinces do likewise, they will fall further foul of the Constitution by allowing the languages whose mandate they share with us to be disadvantaged over those for which Mpumalanga, Limpopo and the Northwest have responsibility. And then, I won't read through it, but I just show extracts of the PANCELB Act relating to languages and the National Development Plan relating to languages. And then we go on to why support for the NLUs is essential. And what we're saying here is that as important and as binding as all of the above are, the need to work cooperatively with national and provincial education departments for the benefit of the vast majority of South African learners who were required from grade 4 upwards to study in language which is not their mother tongue is an even greater reason to do so. Most never see dictionaries in their mother tongue and English before school or during their most formative years of primary school, foundation phase. This is in stark contrast to most English and Afrikaans learners who, while having the advantage of studying and writing exams in their mother tongue, are exposed to children's illustrated dictionaries and children's books before reaching school-going age. We feel that the majority of school dropouts between the grades R and 12 fall into the Indigenous language HL group. They are falling out because they don't have a sufficient grasp of English to understand what is being taught in their content subjects. And the point that the units make is that if you are being taught in a language which you don't understand, then you can't obviously grasp the concepts that are being taught. To attempt to correct this, the NLUs have developed CAPS-linked foundation phase bilingual IL English dictionaries in all official languages. These have been produced in full colour to the highest quality specifications in order to hold the young learners' interest, build their vocabulary in both languages, improve spelling, develop basic reference skills, and counter the damaging attitude amongst numbers of our young Indigenous language speakers that their languages are less important than English and Afrikaans. By building their English at this level, learners will be in a better position to make the transition to English as the language of teaching and learning at grade 4. And I must say here that from the unit's point of view, it really doesn't matter in what our language of learning policy is. Dictionaries are essential language teaching tools, whether it be for home language or first additional language. These dictionaries also support English and Afrikaans home language learners to learn an Indigenous language, ultimately contributing towards social cohesion by creating a more multilingual society. Higher level mono and bilingual dictionaries, both language and subject specific, support and build learners' vocabulary and understanding of subject-specific terminology through the higher grades. Support for the units will not only localize the development of dictionaries and other material by South African entities in South Africa, but will locate this activity within the province and provincial district that is home to the majority of each language speakers. This will create employment and drive demand for languages and lexicographic skills in the provinces which share our mandate for the language concerned, and ensure that mother tongue speakers have control of materials development in their languages. As copyright is held by government through the National Lexicography Units, we can ensure the long-term availability of titles. They won't be declared out of print after a short spell. Now, many of you who are obviously mother tongue speakers of an indigenous language will know that it's very difficult to find maybe some of the books that you read at school. They are often declared OP quite quickly. We obviously have security, if you like, of tenure, security of availability of the dictionaries. If we work together with all provincial and national departments, then we can rapidly version the existing foundation phase dictionaries into other as yet unofficial South African languages. Higher level dictionaries will take more time to develop. We have indeed, Honourable Chair and members, done an experiment with the foundation phase dictionary. We've produced the first ever Kilawedu English dictionary because we hear rumour that Kilawedu may be becoming an official language. Then the only way to ensure that a variety of dictionaries and other material is published in all languages is by using the units. So, now, Honourable Chair and members, if I may just give you a bit of history. I've talked a bit about what we've been doing, what we hope to do, etc. Towards the end of 2014, the 11 national lexicography units, one per official language, came together in East London and agreed that they needed now to work as under an overarching umbrella, to have a structure that could speak with one voice for all of our indigenous languages. However, as it is only the 9 indigenous languages units that are charged by the Constitution to develop materials to elevate the status and advance the use of those languages, the focus has been obviously on the 9 indigenous languages and the teaching of English to speakers of those languages, and now focusing again on the teaching of an indigenous language to English speakers. After we had put together a documented strategy, we had a meeting with the then Honourable Deputy Minister of Arts and Culture, Mamabuga Fassi. The first meeting was held in Cape Town where we discussed this idea with her, and the document here, which you have, is a DAC notification that I'll come to in a minute. And we got permission from her to launch this program by writing letters to all Honourable Members of Parliament. I'm not sure if some of you were there in Parliament at that time, together with a poster which featured the unit heads, the dictionaries that were available then, and some background to the units. So those were distributed to all Honourable Members of Parliament and to all of our provincial legislatures. Later in that year, because all of this activity was in preparation for the publication of a whole range of the bigger dictionaries that you see in the front, not the ones behind, the Honourable Minister released this press statement, and what we found very heartening was that she refers to here the 16th of October, obviously International Dictionary Day, marked the International Dictionary Day, and PANSOLB is pleased to announce that between this day and the middle of December 2015, about 13 new or revised editions of Indigenous language, monolingual and English Indigenous language, bilingual dictionaries will be published. A further 2 dictionaries will be available early in 2016. The 9 Indigenous language units have recently agreed to an overarching structure, the South African National Lexicography Units, in order to, and I won't read those points, you can read them yourself. I think I've touched on them, launch and maintain an awareness program, etc., etc. So that was the first step in the process. When we distributed posters to the various legislatures, I went to Kimberley. And it was somebody in the Kimberley legislature, I cannot remember who it was at this stage, who said, but Mr. Ball, this work that you are doing for our indigenous languages is so important. Why don't you do a presentation to our portfolio committee on arts and culture and education? So Kimberley, Northern Cape, was the first legislature that we presented to. And obviously looking at the constitution, all languages must be treated equally. We couldn't do the Northern Cape alone. We then had to embark on a series of presentations to various provincial legislatures. The only legislatures that we did not cover in that initial round of presentations was the Western Cape, the Free State, and the Northwest, if my memory serves me correctly. We covered all the others. And of course now, recently, we'll go through that. We have covered Mpumalanga and Limpopo again, and the Free State is on our agenda. So at that time, we sent letters to the presidency, parliament, legislatures, ministers of arts and culture, education, basic and higher. I can't remember if the departments were one department at that stage. I think it was two by then. And to premiers' offices, to MECs, to HODs, basically informing them about the work of the units, because I think it's fair to say that the units were, and to a degree still are, some unknown entities, if you like. So we're making a bit more of a noise about who we are, where we're based, what our mandate is, and what the individual units have done. I've talked about the presentations to legislatures. We also covered other agencies such as Umalusi, and I suppose it should be SACAN, NECT. And all of these, I have to say, in all of these, we were very well received. In August last year, we produced 10 foundation phase illustrated bilingual dictionaries, which you will see at the back of those dictionaries. And again, we did letters to ministers, to the president, the honorable president, deputy president, etc. And this time we were possibly a little bit more forward in that we have requested respectfully of the honorable president and of our honorable premiers that they consider allowing UNESCO and the South African National Lexicography Units the opportunity in this year of Indigenous Languages to do a presentation to Cabinet, to do a presentation to provincial committees, so that we can make sure that we inform them about the work that we are doing on behalf of the state. The UNESCO partnership is really very important, and it's distressing, unfortunately, that Mr. Mukwebo could not be here. We've been working in very, very close cooperation with the South African National Commission, they have been extraordinarily supportive. I should say that we were requested by UNESCO to submit those foundation phase dictionaries to their international office for consideration for a competition being run by UNESCO to identify the best language project internationally. And unfortunately, we came unstuck at the last hurdle. The reason that we were eliminated was that the material has not yet been implemented, and therefore there is no evidence of the success of the use of the books. So that was a bit of a disappointment, but we're very pleased that for the first time a series developed in this country has gone as far as that. We are also working very closely with an organization called SADILA, the South African Digital Language Resources. They are based at the University of the Northwest in Potchefstroom, and are funded by Science and Technology, now obviously Higher Education Science and Technology, and their work is to digitize our Indigenous languages so that when we start typing in Xitsonga, in Word, we don't see everything underlined in red. The computers will recognize our Indigenous languages and will highlight only words that are misspelled, which is why, Honorable, although we need to talk about Xitsonga. Also, very interestingly, we have attended a number of meetings held between social development and basic education regarding the handover of grade RR and grade R to education. The one I attended in Mafikeng was quite an eye-opener, because these youngsters all arrived from preschool, got onto the stage and did a role play. One of them pretended to be the teacher standing at a little board, the other sitting on the floor. And the lesson started thus: what day is it today, children? Oh, teacher, it's Tuesday. You know, and what is the date today? Does anybody know what the date today? What month is it? And then, class, we are going to talk about transport. Do you know that there are four modes of transport? What are they? Sea, air, all in English, no? All in English, grade R. And at the end of that, and once the learners had gone, I was compelled to stand up and say, look, it was really quite a remarkable presentation, but isn't there the risk here that we're running, in a sense, foul of language policy? Our learners at grade RR are being taught in English. They then go to grade 1 school where they're having to be taught in the mother tongue, and then at grade 4 they go back to English. I am not a language specialist. I am not an educator. I just raise this concern, and this is one of the issues that we feel we need to discuss with departments. Related to that, another project within this web that SADiLa has, they have other structures at various universities across the country doing work in specific areas of indigenous languages, is the Child Language Project, which is based here at UCT, I believe. And they are providing, doing research to establish the vocabulary levels and words that the average mother tongue speaker knows after 1,000 days after birth. And that is absolutely essential to link into the grade RR program. So we will certainly be talking to them about the work they're doing and when they believe that their results will be available, so that we can take that forward positively. I've talked about the submission to UNESCO. One of the things I've not talked about, my apologies, is this link with UNESCO and SADiLa is also around celebrating each of our official indigenous languages. And we've had 7 of those thus far. There are 2 remaining, Siswati, which will be held on the 24th of this month, and on the 1st of November, the last of them, which will be Zindebele and Siyabuswa Kwanhlanga. And these really take the form of presentations by a number of language specialists in that language, academics, teachers, etc., talking about the importance of indigenous languages, and obviously promoting the work that SADiLa is doing in this initiative. We've also recently had dictionary exhibitions at a conference in the Northern Cape. Khoi, Nama, and San languages, Nubi, Kho, and Kweda. I learned a new word, Bama, which apparently is a greeting, Mu. for those that may not know. We have taken steps in preparing a dictionary, bilingual dictionary, in about 6 or 7 San languages, dialects, many of which probably no longer exist. We've done this in partnership with the South African Council, the SAN Council and the SAN Institute. We've had contact with them some time ago, but it's difficult to take forward this program very positively until such time as we've had discussions with arts and culture and education in the Northern Cape. I've talked already about the second round of presentations that we're doing. We're midway through that. And I think we'll probably complete all but the Western Cape this year, and then we'll focus on the Western Cape early next year. Because again, going back to the foundation phase dictionaries, we think it's important for this province to consider using an Afrikaans isiXhosa dictionary. The majority of learners in the Western Cape, I believe, are Afrikaans mother tongue speakers, and clearly they'll be required to learn an indigenous language, a language, and one assumes that that language will be isiXhosa, because obviously the majority of indigenous language speakers in the province are isiXhosa speaking. The requests made of the legislatures, I've talked a little bit about those. We are entering into memoranda of understanding with the legislatures, and with the departments in the province is concerned, and those focus on putting together a committee with representatives from arts and culture, education, curriculum, education, library services, the heads of the lexicography units for the languages concerned, and planning a forward program, both for new material that needs to be developed to elevate the status of the languages and implementation in the classroom. Moving on to communication and meetings with the DBE, I have to say that the almost immediate response that we received to all our letters to the ministers was from the Honourable Minister of Basic Education, who's referred us to the DG. What we requested there was an opportunity to meet with the DG and to do a presentation at the heads of department meeting, because it seems to be sensible to be able to talk to, let's call it all 10 of the DG/SG's heads of department. We've been referred, as I say, to the Honourable, by the Honourable Minister to the DG. In earlier letters that we did to the DG, he suggested we contact the provinces, which is why we've gone that route. But we do feel the time has come now for us to sit down and talk to DBE as well, because while the development of Indigenous languages will probably take place at provincial level, it is important that DBE has some knowledge of what is happening in the provinces and some oversight of that. We feel that there is a lot of room for improvement in communication with DBE, and also we could, there are certain provinces where we are having some difficulty. So now we come to the issue where we ask respectfully of this committee whether they could be prepared to assist us in various ways. And that is a presentation to the Council of Ministers and HEDCOM on an MOU between the parties. We are asking whether it's possible to for this committee to echo, if you like, if that's the right word, this statement from the Committee on Sport, Arts, well, it was Arts and Culture at that time, concerning the use of dictionaries, the implementation of the dictionaries. We respectfully request that the committee consider allowing us to present to you every 6 months, so that we can provide updates on what has happened in the preceding period. We would like to suggest that as the this is the International Year of Indigenous Languages, that we would leave this dictionary display somewhere in Parliament where people would see it, be able to look at the dictionaries, and to get back to us with some positive criticisms as we already have today. You know, our lexicography unit heads are extremely passionate, hard-working, committed individuals, but no one person can take a decision for an entire language. And it is important that we be discussing these issues with relevant people in arts and culture and in education. The other idea that we have, Honourable Chair and members, is that if you can imagine those single volume dictionaries and in two huge picture frames, one entire dictionary. So all of the bilingual dictionaries would be in one picture frame, all of the monolingual dictionaries would be in another picture frame, with a plaque saying and a request saying that can Parliament be responsible for holding those dictionaries for 100 years? So in 100 years' time, our descendants can look at the work that has been done in the first 22 odd years of democracy in our Indigenous languages. We would like the unit heads, obviously, to write a letter to whoever will be there in 100 years' time. None of us surely will. And we would also like the Honourable Chair, possibly the Speaker, to consider writing a similar letter to whoever is the Speaker of this Parliament in 100 years' time. We don't have the privilege of going back so many hundreds of years to look at our legacy and our languages in many areas. And we think it would be a marvellous way to, A, create publicity around our languages, the importance of our languages, and quite frankly also, in my mind, to remind our Honourable Members every time they enter Parliament that their languages are there to be fought for, their languages are there to be strengthened and supported. We might also very boldly suggest consideration to amend the language and education policy to reflect the existence of the units and entrench cooperation between DBE, provincial departments of education, and the lexicography units. And we would also respectfully request that consideration be given to this language campaign and indeed issues around our Indigenous languages forming part of the SONA every year. What have we done for our Indigenous languages? What are we planning to do? We are absolutely thrilled that the Honourable President, His Excellency, has focused so heavily on our Indigenous languages, both in the Human Rights Day celebrations and obviously in the Heritage Day celebrations, and also his heavy focus on literacy during the SONA statement. As the National Lexicography Units, we stand ready to support government in its endeavours. Siyabonga, siyabonga, kensile nkomo. Siyathokoza.
Siyabulela. As well, Mr. Ball. Honourable members, that's the NLU. Any interactions with them? Honourable Malachi, Honourable King, Honourable Mashesi, Honourable Suela, in that order.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think mine is mainly a comment, especially on the issue of language. Mainly what influences the strength of language is the economic activity. Whoever controls the economy controls the language. Because for you to be able to work or apply for a job somewhere or do whatever, if you do it in Zulu, Pedi, you might not make it in the interview. Now, mainly you might find that parents force their kids to study in English because English is the language of those who are in charge of the economy. Now, I think when you also deal with the issue of the language, you must not separate it with the issues of the economic activities. In China, people speak Chinese because the Chinese are the ones who are in charge of the economy. In Spain, people speak Spanish because the Spanish are the ones who are in charge of the economy. I think the first thing that we need to agree on when we move forward is that we need, in all these 11 African, South African languages that we have, we need to sit down and say which language is a dominating language. Then we identify that language as a South African language, even if there are those languages, but invest in it. Now, if anyone wants to trade with South Africans, they must be able to trade in Zulu, for example. If anyone wants to trade...
I found this on the web, sir. Is there a dominating one?
They must be able to trade with the language of that country. Now, I think that is the first problem, because there is no parent that want to invest, or anyone who wants to take their kids to school to study a language that won't assist them to participate in the economy of their own country. Another issue is the issue of the former multiracial schools. I think also we need to do that. We need to force it. We need to find a way of forcing it. That at least there must be one language that has been taught there, that is an indigenous language. It cannot only be English and Afrikaans. They must be able to choose between. If you're saying that the language, the medium of instruction is English, there must be at least another language, which is a South African language that has been taught there, whether according to the population of the school. For example, if majority of the learners who are in the school are Zulu or are Pedi, if Pedi is a dominating language, all learners in that school, whether black or white or Indian, must be able to be taught Pedi, maybe the second language, or Zulu second language, as a start of making all these languages to be important. Yeah.
Good morning once again. I just want to find out, for the purposes of learners with problems with their sight, yeah, most of these dictionaries also in Braille for that purposes. And then given the fourth industrial revolution that we always talk about, are some of these indigenous dictionaries also digitized in both the bilingual facility? And then on the APC that we receive, I see that you have been struggling to spend your research budget on languages because of the litigation that's going on. How far are you on that? To clear the what is this, your litigation, legacy litigation that you have? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to everyone. And also thank you for the presentation. Mine is just on the issue of the development of the language. Our indigenous languages are not that well developed to the level of English, as you know, one of the members said, like, you know, because of our disadvantages, you know, from the previous dispensation, our languages were sort of put aside. What is it that is done to ensure that, like, you know, we get to a level where we can fully communicate with using indigenous languages, and specifically maybe to even use it in certain provinces, you know, as a way of communicating and empowering the people, you know, the learners in at schools. And also, there's also been a talk of Swahili to be also introduced. How far are we with that, with the Swahili language, in terms of being able to use it at school, to be taught at school? I don't know if you'll have any idea on that. And also, the you know, there was a time that we were talking about some transcripts that have been found somewhere in, I don't remember where it was, but it was somewhere in Africa, where they're saying that South Africa is the only country that is currently busy transcribing those, because no country has been able to do that. I don't know, I don't remember, I should have checked it before asking you. But it was basically to help us with history, with the African history, to tell us more about, you know, our history as a continent and all that. I don't know if you know anything about that.
Thank you, Chairperson, and let me also welcome the presentation. I tend to agree with Honorable Malachi to say the issues of language in the main cannot be divorced from economic activities in a particular country, and which is quite important. But again, is it not time that perhaps we should think, as Honorable Malachi said, of a South African language that should be spoken across the board, instead of us trying to do all these things? Well, I understand that the development of this language is equally important, but then we should be, like many other nations, if a language that we can call a South African language is spoken by everybody other than English. Because for a very long time, we have been subjected to English as the only language. Unfortunately, fortunately for English, it has developed up to a point that it's an economic language as well. And you also indicated in your presentation that you went to this Northwest, where the children at the grade RR level were expressing themselves in English. I wouldn't really blame that great RR teacher, because that is the environment we're meant to grow in, that intelligence has been equated to speaking English. If a child at that age can speak English, then that child is said to be very intelligent. It is the environment, and everybody is trying hard to do it that way. Perhaps the work that you're doing will in the long run pay dividends, I hope so. I wonder whether we'll be able to develop all 11 languages up to the point that would definitely be satisfied about their development. Because 25 years into democracy, long, and this thing has long been provided for in the Constitution. It's only now that we are starting to see the dictionaries at the back that are written in other languages. But in the main, the materials that were readily available for teaching and learning for in the main in English, and everybody has been tracking to ensure that they get those the languages that were already available. And teach or research has shown that men who study in the mother tongue tend to perform better. So the workers have been very important if we have to improve the quality of teaching and learning in the country. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me also welcome and appreciate the presentation that we just received. I think we still have a long way to go in changing or transforming, you know, our country, more especially when it comes to the important thing like our indigenous languages and having our own a language that we can communicate with South Africans. It's going to be another battle, that one. As a Xhosa, we must use Xhosa as our, it's going to also be one battle that is going to be amongst us. And I don't know how are we going to move away from the way we are as the country, you know, we tend to communicate by provinces, to say in Eastern Cape, you know, you'll find majority of Xhosas there. In the Northwest, you'll find the language or the indigenous language that is used, Setswana or Setswana. You know, in Free State, it's Sesotho and all that. So when we want to have a country that speaks in one voice, maybe we must start there, where we can combine, where you can find a mixture of indigenous languages in provinces, not only identify that here in the Eastern Cape you communicate in Xhosa, because basically that is what we are at right now. And also what is important, maybe, Chair, is to have joint meeting with the portfolio or the Department of Arts and Culture, where we would see, including the higher education portfolio, so where we can actually check how best we can, you know, move forward in transforming this, because we can talk about it for years and years. Honorable Suwela was making an example of a great R learner who expresses himself or herself in English at that tender age. Imagine how would you succeed in transforming or instilling that language culture in a small child like that. I think it's a lot of work, and it must start now if you really want to do it. But I do appreciate the report. Thank you.
No, thanks. I think most of the members have raised, but I just want to also have an input on the on this indigenous language. And it might sound controversial, but I'm just thinking that from what Honorable Malachi was raising, the issue of indigenous languages. If we must be honest, also as South Africans, we would agree that the second language would be Afrikaans, and it's because one is not really embracing apartheid, but there was a way to make sure that everybody knows Afrikaans without even going to school, because it's bad that our parents don't know Afrikaans. Most of our parents, somehow they do know Afrikaans, and they were never taught Afrikaans in schools. They were never taught Afrikaans, but there was a way it goes to the issue that he raised of your economic, the economic controls, because it was Africans then that was used mostly under apartheid, and that is a fact. But even with ourselves, if we must open a debate of where our kids are getting to be schooled now, as we speak, the reality is that they speak English. And many parents have got a problem of kids that cannot relate to their home language. It is there. It is there. Our kids, as black as we are, cannot speak our home language. But I want to take it further to us as honorable members as well, that, and most of us who've been in a situation where we must write speeches. There was a time I wanted to do my speech in Xhosa, and I couldn't do it because of the time. I had to take the speech to the people that must translate it for me, and that takes its own time. So I had to end up using English, because when you write in English, it's easy. You write it, it's typed, and then immediately you can. So there are a lot of things that really makes us not to be able to use our indigenous languages the way you would promote, for instance, as lexicographers. But also the question that I have, Mr. Paul, I believe you need also to recognize that there will be learners that are using sign language. And do you have a dictionary, or are you planning to have a dictionary that would speak to them, that they would be able to relate with the indigenous languages as well? But also, I just want to relate. I'm coming from the Northern Cape. As I said, you've got Nama there, you've got Khoisan as well, and its languages that are there. You can't act as if they are not there, and how do you cater for those communities? Because most of the people in the Northern Cape that are using those languages, they end up going to African schools, because I think it's the language nearer that they can understand. And it's small communities. At some point, I remember government tried to have relations with Namibia, because we needed them to have teachers that can do Nama. We do not have in the province. So we established those relations because we wanted to promote languages as difficult as it is. So we had those exchange programs then, so that we were able to accommodate. But I know it was for junior phase, they couldn't even go to a higher schooling, for that matter, with those languages. That's if that program is still continuing. But there is that community, that's what I want to raise. There is that small community as well, that because those people, they know no other language. When you go to their communities, actually, we always go there when we must converse for our parties, for votes. And it's difficult, you know, to communicate with them, because they know no other language when you go to their communities. It's only those languages that are there. But also, as a matter of interest, I want to know from you, and as you contribute towards social cohesion in provinces, how do you plan to create a platform for the emerging young lexicographers? The book illustrators and material developers for all the indigenous languages, and in promoting the of multilingual skills, do you foresee linking the dictionaries as e-books to stimulate learners at a level of grade R to grade 3? I must say this is a nice topic. This topic of indigenous languages, because even ourselves, they're generally divided. Like you were saying, in this room, ourselves, I'm a Xhosa, the other one is a Tonga, the other one is a white, the other one is a white. So somewhere there in London, we are controlled that we must speak in English for us to be able to understand each other. And I think the request that we have raised, it's a request that all of us must put efforts together to see from the portfolio committee point of view. For instance, it is very easy for us to accept that in every 6 months come and give us a presentation of how far you are, what do you think we must do. That those things are easy, we can be able to do them. And I think the same exercise is an exercise that somehow you should be able as well to speak to the executive of the country, you know, so that they understand that there needs to be a need to encourage. Start first by us to encourage our kids, because that is future, you know, to encourage our kids and promote the issue of indigenous languages. As difficult as it is, it's not an easy exercise, and we can't think it's gonna be an easy exercise. So that's it from our side as members. I'll give to you then to give response to Mr. Cole, or to further give clarity on the issue.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Honourable Malachi, I think I don't have anything really to answer there, because what you made were very clear statements around the strength of languages, and unless I misunderstood you, all I can say is I agree with what you said, but I don't think there are any questions I need to answer from what you were saying. The issue of multiracial schools, one language must be taught. Please understand, I don't have a brief to talk on behalf of the Department of Basic Education, but as I understand, the teaching of Indigenous languages to learners has commenced already at grade one level in the incremental implementation of Indigenous languages. But that is a question I think that should be addressed to the Department. I really can't answer that in any great deal detail. It's one of the reasons why we need closer communication, in my view, with the Department of Education. I would hope that we would be in a situation where the lexicography unit heads would be invited to meetings of the curriculum departments when they discuss issues of Indigenous languages and the teaching of English as well. I don't think I can say any more than that in those terms. Braille, we do not actually have anything at the moment. Again, it's something that we would need to talk to DBE about. I think I must say at this point, and I won't be specific, I don't have the specifics, but there is clearly, as there is with a lot of state agencies, a major funding crisis or challenge within the units. And so, you know, one always thinks about, well, do we digitize a particular dictionary, or is it better to develop a new print material that hasn't been produced in that language before? For instance, when you have an opportunity to look at the dictionaries, you'll see that we have maths and natural science bilingual dictionaries in Setswana, in isiXhosa. The manuscript for Sesotho sa Leboa has just come in. So now we need to close the gap. We need to do that publication in the other languages. The dictionaries exist obviously in a PDF format, but they don't exist as e-dictionaries, but it is something that we have to work towards. There's absolutely no doubt about that. We would like to see more interactivity, and this is why the relationship with SADILA is so important, because as well as the structure they are at the university, they are at the head of a network of academic structures doing work in our Indigenous languages, as I was saying earlier. And I'm due to meet with the CSIR, who have a program of digitizing material. And we hope that we may be able to digitize these dictionaries at no or low cost by working with them. So it is something that we are taking very seriously. The question of Braille, and I'm sure you've heard this, it is extremely expensive to produce Braille. And again, it's a challenge we would have. I don't think we would have a problem in saying that any of our dictionaries, where they were useful, could be put into Braille, but we would need an agency to convert the dictionary. Mm-hmm. Again, I know that DPE has regular discussions with the Society for the Blind and various other agencies involved in producing Braille materials. On the development of the indigenous languages, our brief is to develop these materials in the official languages only. So we are certainly not looking at any other languages like Kiswahili, for instance, etc. Our focus at the moment is purely the official indigenous languages. But the issue gets even trickier because of the work that I've been doing and the awareness created around languages. I get people saying to me, now when are you going to do something in isiLala, Mfuetuna? IsiLala, not isiZulu. IsiHlubi. What about isiHlubi? Oh, we're not getting anything in isiHlubi. IsiMpondo. What about isiMpondo? So it becomes, the more work we do, I think the more there will be people who say that Sepulana. Where is Sepulana? we have to discuss these issues, and I think at a higher level than ourselves, and decisions need to be taken, and we will then work towards those decisions. We can certainly make recommendations and suggestions, but I know that it is a minefield. And I think one of the attitudes that we do have to work towards changing, we were talking about Setswana earlier. When Setswana was orthographized, the Bahurutsi, Kisehurutsi was chosen as the appropriate language, if you like, of Setswana to be used. But if you take that Sehurutsi to Kimberley, to the Setlapi, they will say, hey, this is not proper Setswana. And we must get away from that, this is not proper Setswana, it's not proper English. It is proper Setswana, but it may be an accent, a variation, I don't know. I need people who speak the languages fluently and know more about those languages than I do to say, this is a dictionary of Setswana, in Setswana. I know that language bodies do a lot of work in terms of developing terminologies and orthographies, etc. And those terminology and orthography books really do need to be put into the hands of every language teacher so that they understand that this is the correct form of the language, the correct written form. Again, a very ticklish issue. A lot of these issues and a lot of the other issues we cannot handle on our own, but we can, I think, deal with them together. And that's why we are so keen on cooperating. When we talk about the development of languages, we know that almost all government departments have terminology sections or departments where people are looking at developing terminology in the indigenous languages in various specialist fields, so maybe nursing or medicine or agriculture or whatever the case may be. Those words need to be submitted to us for inclusion in future editions of the dictionaries. And we do need to meet regularly to discuss these matters and to agree a course of action. There's South African language that should be spoken across the board by all South Africans. I think anything that is going to assist communication is a good idea. But quite how one goes about selecting those languages, one assumes that it would be simply based on the number of speakers. Because what is often said is if you speak, say, an Nguni language fluently and, say, a Sotho language fluently, that you can get by in Sesotho, Salibua, Sesotho, and Setswana. The same is true of Nguni, but there would be huge amounts of sensitivities around the languages that are selected. I have, just as an aside, I have a very keen interest in the heritage of and history of our people, and for the Sotho speakers here, it may be an interesting little exercise. I firstly came across some references. These are writings done in the 1930s and 40s in the mother tongue, by mother tongue indigenous language speakers, handwritten and then typed and scanned in. One reference was to Mfatla Ndebele. Now, I know about Amandebele, from Amahlubi, the sons of Musa, Mwaduba, Manala, and Zunza. I know about the Kumalos. I've never heard about Mfatla Ndebele, and this made me quite surprised. And the author is a man called Nawa, old orthography, N-A-O-A. And the more I'm reading about this, the more I'm getting people to assist me with it, the more I'm thinking that these were some Amandebele who married into a Setswana speaking group, Bahatla Bahafela. And they Ngunified the name Bahatla, Tumfala. Now, he then also talks about the names of stars in Sesotho. Now, I don't know if you know the Orion's Belt. If you look up in the night sky and you see the Orion's Belt, those three big stars that stand next to one another, what are they called in Sesotho? Dikolobe. Why? Because they followed one another like pigs, running behind one another. Next to that, there's the Pleiades. What did the ancestors call those? Selimela. The language has been lost. You know, are there Sutu speakers? I mean, I don't know if there are Sutu speakers, but this is a... but, sorry, I know that's an aside, but this it just gives you the broad scope. When we had this discussion in the Free State Legislature, and Mr. Teletsani, who was with me, was saying, hey, we need to do a terminological list of the stars' names, because everybody knows a Palaletsani, we all know that. But what about the others? Anyway, enough of that. SA languages should be spoken across the board. We've treated that. Grade RR, don't blame the teacher, definitely. The teachers were put under huge pressure by the parents. It's what the parents want. But, you know, I have to say, do the parents necessarily understand the pedagogy of this? Do they understand what might be best for the learners? I mean, obviously they are trying to do the best they possibly can for their children, we understand that. But it may not be the right thing educationally. Again, I'm not qualified to make a judgment on that. I just think it is a matter that needs to be considered by people with more experience and qualifications than I. Dictionaries versus dialects, which language do you use? Well, I think I've hopefully answered that one. I mean, what we are trying to do now is what we've agreed we ought to be doing is if there is a, let's assume that there are three words for a particular object in, say, Chitsonga, various, that we should list all three and say this one is spoken predominantly or used predominantly in this area, that one is used predominantly in this area. Again, until one has actually sat down and created what they call a corpus of words that fall into that category, it's very difficult to know how practical that is, because you may have a Setswana dictionary that's going to run into thousands of pages. I just don't know. So there is, the one thing that we do not have to worry about if we are involved in languages is that we're not going to have anything to do. Our challenge is of all the things that have to be done, what should we be prioritizing? That is the challenge. Not what we're not going to have work tomorrow. We're going to have work for a long time to come. The chair spoke about sign language. Do we have one? No, we don't, unfortunately. How do we hope to create a platform for Indigenous language speakers? This is obviously... We hope by working closely with government, the units will receive sufficient income from those activities to be able then to invest in growing their staff, in obviously expanding the range of books that they offer. The National Lexicography units are registered as NPOs, it obviously makes sense for them to draw their employees from the areas in which they are based. Most of them, not all of them, are based on university campuses. So in Limpopo, for instance, Tshivenda and Sesotho Salibu are based at the universities there, but Chitsonga is based at the old Tivumbuni College of Education in Gwangu. Speaker, I don't know, linking dictionary levels grade R to 3, could you just raise that point again? I think I've... didn't take my notes down carefully enough.
It was about people.
Well, absolutely, clearly, technically it is possible, but this is a discussion that I need to have with the CSIR, as I was saying, because we are talking in the short term about saying, would they be prepared to digitize these dictionaries so that we can make them available, as sort of manipulative dictionaries that people can work on the internet. So I can't answer that question fully. I know that there is a need for it, and ultimately it is something that we need to be working towards, because I would like to see far more interactive dictionaries, especially at the lower levels, foundation phase levels, etc., where, you know, learners could touch a picture and then listen to the pronunciation. Because here's another challenge. I'm hoping when I go, which may not be too long away, that I will leave a legacy that I never had as a person growing up in this country. I was very fortunate at the age of 28 to start working outside of South Africa, Swaziland, Botswana, Lesotho, etc. And I began to pick up a little bit of all of our languages. And my problem there was that I was trying to learn them all and read them. Now, you know, as an Mlungu, the first thing you must practice, if you look, you've got to get that right. You've got to get that right. And then, you know, so now you know, if I see an X, if I see a Q, and so you go on. Then you start looking at Chitonga, and you see something that says of Kenyan, of that X, as you know, is a sh sound. So that becomes difficult. Then you get to Isikosa and you see an R and you say Amararab, Amahafa. Our languages are a joy, you know. I always tease my Setswana friends, saying to them, you know, hey, when I was learning languages, it's not easy. One is deep, one is high, you know, and they are a joy. I love them. I'm sorry, I sound like a Muruti or Mfundisi, but we have to do something about our languages, and we need people with passion and concern, and I'm sure that I can find lots of that here.
That's good. That's good. I think your passion took many, many years, Mr. Paul. I think I wish we can inculcate that to our kids. I so wish we can inculcate that. Any follow-ups? No? We good? We fine? No, then we came to an end of our meeting, and I must say again, thank you very much, Mr. Paul, for your presentation. I think all of us as members, we appreciate your presentation. Like you can see now, the issue is really Honorable Mashiach is taking my lunch, but speak your language, Pena. Respond on your language. You know, it's a nice debate. This is actually a nice debate, but I think it makes us really to think, to find our identity and be able to own it up, because after all, it is about identity. And I think as South Africans, we are really not that serious about who we are, our identity, and own it up and not be shy about it. Like I say, you would get an English speech really, but the reality yourself, you can't translate it to your own language. It's so embarrassing. But it's a fact. It is there. So thank you very much for your time, and we'll keep in contact, of course, through Mr. Brown. And as and when you think that you must come and update us, we will ask you to come and do that update to us. The meeting is adjourned, Honorable Mother. Oh, Honorable Members would know most we postponed the meeting for tomorrow. So next week we will continue with the meeting on equal education at 9:30. But also we will have to adopt the the BRRR report on Tuesday next week. Okay.